separation and divorce are one of life's biggest events. They can profoundly change the rest of your life in many different ways. One thing that can happen is you can lose a lot of money in your separation or divorce, often unnecessarily. How you can keep more of your money is a topic in this episode of the Ontario Family Law Podcast. My name is John Schumann. I'm a certified specialist in family law in Ontario. I am also a mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer. This podcast is a companion to my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on the iBookstore, Amazon, Kobo, and at other fine bookstores. Keeping your money is different from taking it from your spouse. With cooperation, spouses, even after separation, can come up with ways to have more money between them. This can be done through tax savings or careful financial planning and avoiding legal fees. Trying to get as much money as you can from your spouse often is a result of having a big fight. And big fights cost money, no matter where they happen. So you can end up having less money by trying to get more from your spouse. The best way to try to protect your money in any marriage or other relationship is to have a marriage contract or cohabitation agreement.
Oh.
Ideally, you should have this before you start your relationship, but you can get it at any time during your relationship. In fact, you can use it to try to save your marriage. Marriage contracts are the most surefire way to protect your assets or your income because you and your spouse agree on how things will happen when you separate. If you don't have one of those, you're subject to Ontario family law and some of the peculiarities that can cause problems for you there. Another way that you can really save money is to get yourself a lawyer and to listen to your lawyer.
Why don't you have your lawyer call my lawyer?
Now, that can be difficult for some people because lawyers can be expensive. But often it is way less expensive than to get good legal advice than to go to court or try to fight it on yourself and make mistakes that can cost you even more money. Get a lawyer, listen to your lawyer, and if you have to, or if it helps you better, you can retain your lawyer for what's called unbundled legal services. That's where you hire a lawyer just to give you advice, or to give you help with a certain part of your case, or to draft certain documents, or perhaps to prep you for a court appearance. If you do that, and you have good advice from your lawyer, you come up with good ideas that a judge or your spouse will like and that will avoid many of the big pitfalls that befall people who try to deal with their separation or the divorce on their own. People often make many mistakes unwittingly. Avoid court. People think that the only way to get a divorce is to go to court. While it is true that a judge is the only person who can grant a divorce, you can deal with everything else except for the divorce outside of court. All a divorce does is let you be remarried. If you want to deal with support or property division or the parenting of the children, you can deal with that outside of court. And court is easily 10 times or more expensive than any of the other options. And there are many good options out there. You can negotiate with your spouse directly if that works between you and them. Getting legal advice can help make sure you have a good contract and that it will survive, but you can still have a good negotiation between you and your spouse. Also, if you have difficulty doing that, have the negotiation happen between the lawyers. Lawyers know where family law cases should end up in settling. They know the range of probable outcomes in court. They know what's acceptable and what's not acceptable in court. So if you go to your lawyer and you listen to your lawyer and you have your lawyer negotiate for you, you'll come up with an agreement that is probably okay. In fact, it'll probably be a lot better than you come up with by yourself, and you will know that it is a good agreement. Another option is to go to arbitration or mediation. That's having someone else help you with the decision or making the decision for you. Even though you pay that person, it's still way less expensive than court. And finally, there's collaborative practice. Collaborative practice is an entirely different way of doing things, and many people like it because it involves the parties themselves coming up with the resolution after careful discussion of what all the options are. It's a very different type of negotiation, and if you don't know what it is, look it up or speak to your lawyer.
Ah.
When you are in court or in arbitration or any other time, you should make good offers to settle. That's particularly important when you're in arbitration or in court because offers to settle can have cost consequences. Legal fees are a big cost in separation and divorce, especially when you're fighting things out because you can't agree. If you make an offer to settle and you beat your offer to settle either in arbitration or then in court, your spouse is supposed to pay, subject to what the arbitrator or the judge says, most or all of your legal fees. Think of that. You could have your divorce without paying your lawyer. Your spouse has to do it.
Ah.
So make a good offer to settle that you think you can beat. One that you can still feel comfortable with, but one that you can beat. And that way, if your spouse doesn't accept it and you have to go and have that big fight, your spouse may end up paying all of your legal fees. An important thing to consider as well is support calculations. There are services that do this online, and lawyers have much more complex software that they can use to do more precise calculations. It's important to do those support calculations because often things are different than you would think. Another area where people unnecessarily lose lots and lots of money and part with assets needlessly is with regard to matrimonial homes. This particular piece of law applies to married couples and not to common law couples, so keep that distinction in mind if you're not married. But in marriage, in Ontario, you have to share half the value of your matrimonial home if you brought it into the marriage with you. That's regardless of how much you paid for it or how long the marriage is. This is a big problem that many people run into, especially in short-term marriages, because they pay for the entire house before the marriage and they have to give it half of it away to their spouse. You can avoid this a few different ways. The most sensible one is to get a marriage contract if you're bringing a house into the marriage. That can protect your right to the money you brought into the marriage or the value of the house you brought into the marriage. Do that, protect your house, protect the money you had at the day you got married, and don't lose it just because you separate from the same house that you got married in. Another thing you can do is because it's the house that you brought into the marriage that you are sharing, if you still live on it when you separate, is that you can move out of the house before you separate and make something else your matrimonial home. This may seem a little bit devious and will involve a lot of work, but if you have a house that was worth a lot of money the date of marriage and you had hundreds of thousands of dollars of equity in it, then it probably is worth it. So if you don't have a marriage contract, what you want to do if you're contemplating separation is A, talk to a lawyer, and then you want to try to get your family into another house before you separate so that that house becomes your matrimonial home. You can have more than one matrimonial home, so you want to be out of the house that you brought into the marriage completely. Maybe rent it out or sell it or do something else with it, but don't be living in that house when you separate, because if you do that, then you will get the full value of the house that you brought into your marriage, and that can be a big credit worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is a frequent mistake, and it really comes back to hurt some people because they separate from the same house they got married into. Don't do it. There are many ways to get rid of money for support. Most of them are things that people have tried before, and most of them don't work out. If you want to try to reduce your income for support purposes, speak to a lawyer first. If you don't speak to a lawyer first, you will probably do something that judges don't like, or that is obvious, or that looks underhanded, or that will cause you big problems in court and perhaps have you pay court costs, perhaps even extra support, or other penalties as well. If you want to reduce your income for support purposes, see a lawyer before you separate, discuss how to do it with your lawyer, and come up with a specific plan about how to do that. And for even more great family law tips, get a copy of my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law. Within its pages, you will find lots of information on marriage, separation, divorce, and even children's aid society matters. Know what you're getting into when you're getting married, and know even more about what you're getting into when you're getting separated or divorced so that you can protect yourself and your kids. This book is available on the iBookstore, on Amazon, on Kobo, and at many fine bookstores. For even more family law information, check out www.schumannlaw.ca. There you will find hundreds of pages of family law information. It also includes links to relevant family law legislation, important court decisions, and other family law resources and information. But always remember, general family law advice may not apply to your situation. It is always best to speak to a lawyer and get a plan that works specifically for you and your family, and most importantly, your children. Thanks for participating in my podcast. We will do this again soon.